those very infrequent moments when I have been stopped and accused of doing things. I don't think there's ever been a time yet when I thought, you know, I probably did. You know, usually I want to say, but there's a reason I was going 80 in a 70 zone. Now, if you understood. But the truth is, I never argue when those times come. In fact, what I usually think is, well, I've earned a lot more than I've gotten over the years, if I'm going to be honest. But I do remember one time that I decided it was time to defend myself when I was stopped. It was several years ago, and it was right close to this building. It was coming off of the ramp there, coming off of 31 and getting onto Lakeshore, you know, right here beside our church. And I came through that intersection, and I got to the bottom of the ramp, and I looked, and nothing was coming, and I pulled out, and surely enough, in just a moment, a man on a motorcycle stopped me, and I said, "What's the problem? I don't understand what's going on." And he said, "You came to the bottom of that ramp, and you never stopped for the stop sign. You kept running through." And I looked at him, and I said, "That's not a stop sign. That's a yield sign." And he said, "What makes you think that?" And I said, "It's been a yield sign since I was a student at Sanford years ago." And that's what I did. I got to the end. I looked down there. There was nobody coming. And I kept driving through. And he said, "Well, you're right. It was a yield sign until 2 weeks ago. And now it's a stop sign." You know, I have never failed to stop at that intersection ever since then. And I should say, and he very graciously let me go for just a moment. But you know, it makes me think, sometimes we find ourselves just kind of assuming something is the way it's always been. You know, the honest truth is, after he let me go and I went down the road, and I think I was headed to Sanford and did what I needed to do there, I came back and I looked, and sure enough, it was a stop sign. Because it had always been a yield sign, I assumed it was still a yield sign, but it wasn't. And now I had to stop. And I'm thinking about that the other day, and this is why I was thinking about it. And I thought, you know, often we do the same thing with the Word of God, especially with passages that are so familiar to us that we just think we know everything about them, and we just kind of fly on by. And we're not impacted the way we should be. This morning, as we continue to study the heart of the gospel, as we spend 4 weeks in one verse of Scripture, I want you to listen with fresh ears to what the Bible says. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." He gave His Son. We've heard that truth so often that we're no longer astounded by that statement. God loved the world so much that He gave His Son. I want to ask you a question this morning. Those of you who are parents and grandparents, is there anyone you would give the life of your child to save? Look around this room. Ask yourself this question. Is there anybody in this room that I would be willing to sacrifice my child for? Would it matter if I told you that if you were willing to let your child die, then everybody in this room could be saved? What if we went beyond the walls of this church and talked about the city of Homewood, the Birmingham metro area, the state of Alabama? Would you give your child's life if it meant others could live? How many people would have to be saved before you would agree to sacrifice your child And yet the truth is, we read this truth in the gospel without even batting an eye. God gave his son. God gave him up for you and me. The universe has never seen a greater expression of mercy and love. The one person who had the right to take everything chose to give everything. God's gospel message to you this morning is this. God loves this world so much, he gave his son. And this is what I want to invite you to do this morning. I want you to listen to this message as though you had never seen that passage in the Bible again. God gave his son. Who did the Father give his son for? The Bible says this. He gave him to those who would not receive him. When God sent his son, the Bible says it was the fullness of time. That doesn't mean it was a particular minute of the day. It means everything was perfect. It was the perfect time. It was the perfect place. It was the perfect fulfillment of God's will. It was the perfect answer to all of God's prophetic promises. Jesus was born in the midst of a people who were looking for a Messiah to come. And he fulfilled every qualification. Surely anybody with a brain and a heart would know this was God's promise fulfilled. And yet when Jesus came, John tells us, many chose to turn away. He would not receive him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. People make the same choice today. They make that same decision. I hear the truth, the gospel truth. God gave his son. And I think, I don't want to receive that gift. I have no desire to have what God so willingly is able to give to me. You know, you would think by the time enough time has come from the birth and death of Jesus, as many times as the gospel has been portrayed, as many Bibles has been published in as many languages as we have in this world, you would think everybody would be ready to receive the truth that God loved the world and gave his son. After all, we look backwards now and we can see the evidence of history. We can see the evidence of fulfilled prophecy. We can see the eyewitness testimony from those who have known him. We look around ourselves today, we see the evidence of lives that have been transformed because they trusted Jesus. Yet many do not receive him. Why? Because they choose to close their eyes and close the Lord out. Having heard the gospel, having seen the gospel, having witnessed the power of the gospel, some people still continue to say, don't want to receive you. Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. Did you hear that? If anyone hears my voice and opens the door. And yet it is an amazing thing that day after day, week after week, year after year, people hear that voice and keep the door closed in their lives. I don't want you in, Jesus Christ. I don't want you to do what I know you're going to do. I don't want to have to change my life the way I would have to change my life. I would rather live my life on my own terms. And so, Jesus Christ, I simply say to you, I choose not to receive you. Even if all those things are so, I choose not to receive you. And yet it is for those people that God so loved the world, he gave his son. But that's not all. The Bible says he gave his son to those who would not believe him. God sent Jesus to tell us the truth. About God, about ourselves, about a salvation, about abundant life, about eternity to come. John 1:14 said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. grace and truth. Jesus came to tell us the truth. The truth, we are separated from God when we're left all to ourselves. The truth about who He was and why He came. The truth about the fact that God wants everyone to know Him and be saved. The truth that the path to salvation can only lead through the cross. The truth that all of us need a Savior. He came to tell us the truth, not only the truth about salvation, but the truth about how to find abundant life, the truth about how to walk before God with righteousness, the truth about how to experience the love and unity that only Christ can give. He came to tell us the truth. But many would not believe Jesus. They still don't today. You can tell me the truth until you're blue in the face, but I don't want to hear it, and I'm not listening. Because if He's right, then I'm lost. If He's right, then Christ is the only way. If He's right, then nothing matters more than what I've done with Jesus in my life. If He's telling the truth, then I can accomplish everything I want to accomplish, acquire everything I want to acquire. I can be honored by the world for all of the ways that I have made myself famous, and yet when I die and face eternity, all of those things will be blown away like dust in the wind. Because Jesus came to tell the truth that all that really matters is whether you have a personal relationship with Him, and everything else is just wasted time until you know the Savior. And so people refuse. They refuse to believe because to believe Him is to choose Him above every other claim or any other way. Because Jesus is the one who said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus came to tell us the way back to the Father. And yet some refuse to believe. And yet God so loved the world, He gave His Son, even for those who would not believe. He gave Him to those who would reject Him. There were those who were so offended by Jesus that they completely rejected everything about Him. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to think about it. I reject the whole idea of Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, the Savior of the world. Because they realized if they turned to Christ, everything about their lives would have to change. If He was real, then they were really strangers to God. If He was real, they were really in danger of judgment. If He was real, they would have to trust Him and not their own goodness to make their lives right with God. Jesus never hesitated to declare that to follow Him called for radical change. Jesus never hesitated to say, let me tell you something. If you trust me, if I am your Savior, then you're going to become a different person. You're going to be so different that it will be as though you were born again. Because all of those things that once seemed so precious, they're not going to be important to you anymore. And some of the things that you thought didn't matter are going to become the most important things in your life because you're going to be in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. God sent His Son to tell the truth, and yet they chose to reject Him. People continue to reject Jesus the same way today. They don't mind if He's a historical figure. They don't care if you declare Jesus was a great teacher. But make it personal. Tell them that their hope of heaven is between themselves and Jesus, and they don't want to hear it. They turn away from God's answer to their greatest need. They chose to reject him, and yet God so loved the world, he sent his son. He gave them him to those who would crucify him. Don't be mistaken. Before God sent his son, God knew the cross was directly in his path. If Jesus were going to come, if he were going to take on human flesh and become the Savior of the world, there was no way to avoid the cross. The only way to avoid the cross would be to allow the world to be condemned. Jesus told his disciples time and time again, the cross was his ultimate earthly destiny. In Mark 10:45, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." The cross. He knew that the very ones he gave his son to would be the ones who would attack and crucify him. They would cause him to bleed every drop away on Calvary and die of a broken heart. He also knew it was the only way, so hatred had to have its day. Satan had to believe that his strategy would be enough to prevent the salvation of the world. And there are many in the world today who continue to hate the name of Jesus. They attack those who follow him. They persecute those who bear his name. They take their life when Jesus is mentioned. And if they had the opportunity, they would crucify him all over again. But here's the incredible thing. And knowing everything that we would do, God gave his son. Unbelievable. God gave his son, and the son chose to become the gift. Philippians 2, 5 through 8 reminds us of an amazing truth that the Father gave his only begotten Son, but the Son was also willing to set aside heaven and walk as a man and surrender to the cross for the sake of the ones God loved. If you ever wonder whether the Lord loves you, if you ever wonder whether he cares about you, go to this passage. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus gave up his life for you. And the cross is the greatest symbol of love that the world has ever known. So here's the greatest question of all. Why? Why? Why would God give his son? Not because we were good enough. Not because we had earned it. Not because we deserved God's compassion and his forgiveness. God gave his son for one reason, because we needed him. The world was lost and separated from God. The world was doomed to death and hell. And still God loved us. The world had nowhere left to turn until Jesus. God sent his son to bring salvation to a lost and dying world. Why did he do it? God gave his son because he wanted us. Can you imagine that? He wanted us. With all that we've been hearing about the ways that the world turned away, the ways the world rejected him, the ways the world refused to believe him, God still wanted us. Jesus said his mission was to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible says we were sheep without a shepherd. If I ever were going to sacrifice one of my children for you, you better believe you would have to deserve it. And I would look at you long, and I would look at you hard, and I would try to find those redemptive things that made it worth the cost of my child for you. And God looked down from heaven, and he said, look at them. They are dirty. They are profane. They are angry. They can be so hateful. I love them. I love them. They're like sheep without a shepherd. And if somebody doesn't do something, they're going to be lost. Yeah, it would have been easy for the Lord to walk away. He didn't need us, but he wanted us. And when the Lord looked at us from heaven, he saw sinful people, but he also saw lost people, hopeless people, people stumbling around in the dark, people destroyed by Satan and sin. And all he wanted to do was bring us back to himself, back to hope, back to love. There's a great word for what Jesus came to do. That word is reconcile. Because reconcile means to bring them back and to give them a welcome. God sent a son because while many would say no to Christ, some would say yes. And to rescue the some was worth the price. Remember what John said to us? He came into his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to those he gave the right to be called children of God, to those who believe in his name. Can you imagine what it was like when Jesus was preparing to come and the angels gathered around and they must have asked, Lord, why are you doing this? Why abandon heaven to live as a man on earth? Why show God's love to people who don't deserve it? Why go when you know many of them are going to turn their back on you? And Jesus may have stood in the midst of the angels and looking down the corridors of time, began to point out people, not big groups of people, individuals, and call them by name. He will believe. She will believe. They will believe. That one will believe. This one's going to be saved. This one will trust me. And while there will be many who will never want to acknowledge Jesus as Lord, there are going to be some. And they're worth anything to bring them home again. Because someday they're going to spend eternity with me in the Father's house. And we will know it was worth the price. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that you would have your chance to say yes. And that's what's happened in the lives of so many who are gathered here today. You had your chance to say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here and if you're a believer, then if we had the time, then I could say, stand up one by one and tell me about when you said yes to Jesus. And we would find all kinds of different stories. We would have some who would say, you know what? From before I was born, my parents made sure I was in the house of the Lord. And I heard the stories of Jesus all of my growing up life. And there came that time when as a child, I recognized I need to follow Christ. And I became a Christian. And I followed him all of these years. And there would be some who would say, well, it wasn't like that for me. I had a really dramatic event that happened to me right in the middle of my college years. And all of a sudden, I realized I didn't have what I needed more than anything. And I trusted Christ, and it changed everything. And some of us would say, I'll tell you what, it didn't happen to me until I was up in my adult life. And I was going through a crisis, and my heart was broken. And my life was falling apart, and I knew I had to have hope, and I trusted Jesus. And I've never looked back. And we would all have our own story, because that's what it means when the Lord begins to say, he will believe, she will believe, they will believe. It means that all of us who know him in a very personal way. And when we hear God so loved the world, he gave his son, the instinctive response that every one of us has is simply this: for me. He did it for me. And if nobody else in the world had needed the cross, he would have done it just for me. But there may be some of us here who have never had that experience with Jesus. You've never trusted him as Savior. You may be here and you're thinking, I've heard about him all my life, but I've never done anything about it. I don't really have a personal relationship with Jesus. Maybe today is the day when that needs to happen for you. It may even be that you walked in here today just because you did, without a thought in the world of having a life-changing experience with God. And yet today, right here, right now, he's speaking to you, and he's saying, it's time for you to trust me. It's time for you to follow me. God so loved the world, he gave his son. He did it for you. In a moment, if you don't know the Savior, we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn. And I'm going to be here at the front of the church. And Dr. Hutchins is going to be at the front of the church. And if you'll just come and take us by the hand, we will be glad to introduce you to Jesus. Or maybe God's calling you and saying, this is the church you need to be a part of. You don't need to just attend. You need to join here. You need to plant your life here and follow him here. Maybe there's another decision, a different call God's placing on your life. If he's speaking to you, then today is your day. You come. Let's stand together. Let's sing our hymn of invitation.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, comforter, keeper, Spirit, we long to embrace.
So good to be in God's house today, to hear the truth of God's word and learn the love that God has for us. Let me encourage you to be back tonight, 5 o'clock. We're going to be down in the fellowship hall. Last Sunday, we had a great time as we began our study through the book of Romans. Now, I told you last week, this is going to be an extensive challenge for us. And I'm looking forward to this evening, because this evening we're going to study one verse, just one verse. And we're going to preach, and we're going to teach, and we're going to enjoy a great time together. So I encourage you to be there this evening at 5. And you may say, but Jim, don't you know something else is going on tonight? I could say, no, I don't know, but I can say this. You come and you be part of this Roman study, and I promise you, you'll be back home before anybody scores. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, but you come, we'll be part of that. Let's pray together, and then we'll have our final song. Father, we do thank you that you so loved the world, that you gave your Son. Father, we can't explain it and we don't understand it. But Father, with all our hearts, we receive it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Things.